Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I bring to people what I feel is a renaissance in spirituality that seems to be happening around the planet. And tonight's guests both have a lot to do with the healing technologies, healing on a holistic level, and how we can understand the body in a new way. So my first guest tonight is Ross, who's a healer. His website is healingmagic.net, and we're going to talk to him about his techniques and his overview of what his type of healing is about. So, Ross, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so let's just get a little background about how you came into being a healer and what your angle, what your point of view, how you bring the body back into wholeness. So just tell me a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, I first became interested in healing actually when I was a teenager. And I had my first massage when I was 16 years old. And I just thought it was the most amazing thing that I'd ever experienced. Mm. And it was actually my girlfriend's father who gave me the massage, and he happened to also teach massage therapy. He was a part of a school in Madison, Wisconsin, and he taught massage therapy. So I started learning at that point, and for many years it was just a hobby, something that I really enjoyed. But people kept telling me I had very good hands and that I should consider doing that, and eventually after several years, I decided to take it seriously and studied a little bit, and then I opened my own practice, and that was back in 1986, actually.
But you got into it just a healing aspect, but there must have been a philosophy that you were opened up to in understanding massage as a therapy, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, and, you know, my current philosophy has, you know, been developed over a period of, you know, the 23 or 24 years since then. Mm-hmm. You know, I've gone through various levels of knowledge and understanding, and so, you know, from the very beginning, I learned, you know, some very basic holistic concepts that body actually is capable of healing itself if it's supported.
So that's the thing about healing and going to a healer or an energy worker is how can the healer best support the body to heal itself?
Yeah, exactly. You know, to some extent, the body can heal itself if it's, you know, if it has what it needs. But, of course, you know, most people are very stressed out, and their bodies are suffering, you know, both on a physical level with stress, a lack of proper nutrient, environmental toxins, and also blockages in the energy. I also, back in the very beginning, I began working with energy. And I started working with the inner meridian in the body, like they do in Chinese medicine, in acupuncture. You have energy meridians that flow through the body, the pathways or little rivers of energy that flow through the body, and they carry the life force energy known in Chinese medicine as qi.
Right. So, I mean, this is a big thing, and this is what the paradigm, I think, of the new way of looking at somebody is to see them from a holistic perspective, that they are made of energy, that, you know, we are energy just as much as we are matter. Actually, the scientists are now saying everything is energy, so we're actually more
matter
energy.
Right.
And so we're trying to take that understanding and bring it into a way of looking at the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, How do you help activate someone's chi? Do you use actual meridian points, or how do you do it?
Well, I use a lot of different ways, and you know, over the past 24 years, I've picked up a lot of different techniques, worked with a lot of different styles. You know, I've studied with a lot of different individuals. I've done a lot of self-study. I've done a lot of practicing, working on people, and I've also experienced a lot of different healing modes myself. And so I've taken what I found to be the most effective, and I do. I work with acupressure points, and that's a part of it. Reflexology.
So what's like the first thing you do when someone comes into your office? How do you size them up and understand what this person needs from you?
Well, that's kind of interesting. You know, because for me, I have people, when people come to me, I generally have them fill out a basic intake form that says, you know, what their problems are, what their issues are. But you see, my work has evolved a lot since then, since the beginning. And, you know, I still work with the acupressure points and work with the meridians and the chi, but I also work with, you know, other forms of energy as well, the chakras, the aura, kundalini. And what I consider to be the most important thing that I work with is spirit.
Well, how do you work with spirit?
that's a good question. And there's a couple things that make it possible to work with spirit. And one is breath, doing breath work. And another thing is intention. You know, having the intention of myself and of the client that we're working, because what I have discovered for myself and my experience and my beliefs have shown me is that the spirit, you know, and I'm talking, when I talk about spirit, I am talking about the person's individual spirit, their individual soul, and, you know, the greater spirit. You could call that the Tao, the collective unconsciousness, the great spirit, or God, even.
Right.
You know, so you're talking, but it's this great spiritual energy that exists individually within us and also collectively without us.
But how would you work with that great spirit? I mean, first of all, how do we even know? It's not the spirit that actually is damaged. It's the spirit's always whole, right? And so how do you work with the spirit in relationship, I guess, to the body that way?
Well, the thing about energy is, you know, how we understand energy in the physical world is all energies are in a wave form, right?
Yes.
These waves, you know, what my voice and your voice, everything we're listening to over the radio right now is sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
So those are in forms of waves.
It's all vibration, yes. Yes.
Right? Everything we see is light waves. And the difference between energy is the frequency that those waves are vibrating.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
Matter is vibrating at a slower rate than sound, which is vibrating at a slower rate than light, which is, you know, and above light, you have spirit. And spirit is vibrating at a very high level. And, you know, what happens in our bodies, when we have problems in our physical bodies, in, you know, in our hearts, in our minds, emotional, mental, psychological, spiritual issues. Essentially what's going on there is that there's blockages. There's places of low vibration. You know, things are stuck.
Right.
And Yeah, so to answer your question, I am getting to your question.
I appreciate, I think people need this background in order to understand the holistic view of healing. So go, please, yeah, continue, yes.
I just want to back up for a second. I have the name of my business is Healing Magic, and you mentioned my web, healingmagic.net. I call it magic because, you know, there's something wonderful about magic. And in a lot of ways, it works like magic. However, the art and science of the energy work that I do, you know, it really is, there's a science to it.
Talk about that too, because what my program really is about is the science of spirit that seems to be emerging in all fields. So I'd love for you to expand upon what you mean by the science and the work with the spirit.
Right, right. And that's getting back to what we were talking about before, the life force energy, the chi that flows through us. Now, this is, Chinese medicine, is a very ancient art. It goes back about 5,000 years, and it's actually a quite advanced science in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they've done is they've isolated the very specific pathways of how this life force energy flows through the body.
Right. Right. And I think that was an incredible understanding. And I studied acupuncture and Chinese medicine, so I understand how brilliant that discovery was. So, yeah, please continue. Yes.
And so modern science, takes a look at energy as, what can be observed and what can be measured. And this is one reason why, modern or Western science has not, recognized the life force energy, qi in Chinese medicine, or in Ayurveda or yoga, they call it prana.
Mm-hmm.
And, because it can't be measured with scientific instruments, and so it's not something that's been really recognized, but it's obvious to everybody. And any Western scientist or any doctor will readily admit that, we have energy in our bodies. There is that spark of life, that you see in living things, in plants and animals and human beings, but they haven't been able to identify what it is. Well, about years ago, the Chinese, they did identify it, and they did quantify it. They measured it, within the human body. And so really the goal of Chinese medicine, the goal of all forms of energy medicine really is to help human beings attain this state of ideal health.
Right.
Where you're full of energy, you're full of life, you're full of health, vitality, where there's balance. It doesn't mean that you're absolutely perfect, but, but you have this state of health, vitality, balance, and overall wellness.
You know what the highest form of medicine in the tradition I studied is? Not to make someone better or to keep them well, but to connect people to their destiny was what. Isn't that great?
Oh,
yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah, because
that says it all in a way. But go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's beautiful. So now. We were talking about the science of this. So you have this chi, this life force energy, take several different forms within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And going through the meridians is one of the forms that it takes. Now that's already been proven even by Western medicine. They've done the whole radioactive dyes and, they've found that it track it through the meridians.
Mm-hmm. So when people come to you, then how do you size them up? I mean, is it just more like an intuitive thing on your part, or do you have like a system that you actually kind of do for people, or I mean, because healing is an art, so it's not
right.
Like, yeah. So I'm just curious how you would work on someone who showed up on your table, and like, how would you tune into them, and or is it every case differently? I'm just curious about how different people work.
Well, you know, I've got a standard, a fairly standard treatment that I do, and you know, the type of healing treatment that I do combines massage with energy work and breath work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think massage is very important because it really helps to clear the very you know, the physical tension and the very gross physical blockage from our system. Because, you know, I know we all carry around so much tension in our body, and everyone, you know, tight shoulders and a stiff neck and everything. And it just really helped to do that. You know, it's funny, when I was younger, you know, and I had been doing massage and healing work even
yeah.
for a couple of years. I used to, every once in a while, I would get different types of energy work. And I just,
uh-huh.
I would hate it. I would not, I didn't love energy work. You know, because the experiences I had is that people wouldn't touch me really. They would, you know, they'd touch me very lightly, and then they'd hum or they'd om or chant or something like that.
Mm.
And then they'd say, there you go, you're healed.
Mm.
And I'd be like, yeah, but I got so much tension in my body still. What, you know?
And has that changed now, your understanding of energy work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, well, my experience has changed with it. I mean, for one thing, probably the people who were working on me, you know, maybe didn't, you know, they weren't right for me. And
right.
I probably wasn't right. I wasn't right for whatever they were doing, for sure. Since then, I've had, yeah, many, many amazing experiences. Without the necessity of physical touch even.
Mm.
However, for most people, the physical touch helps. So when somebody sees me, you know, I do a physical massage. I also work with the breath.
Right.
And because that's so important, is to get people breathing, you know, more than they usually do.
Mm.
And that does many things. It helps to cleanse the body physically, but breathing will also help increase your vibration.
Can you also, if you want to, share a little bit about the tantric work? I mean, as it fits into that? I mean, generally, how...
Yeah.
I mean, if you care to talk about that, because...
Well, no, actually, it's integral with what I do. I mean, I developed my own version of a tantric massage in about 2001, about
uh-huh.
8 years ago.
Well, what does that mean, a tantric massage, for people who don't know?
Well, you know, a tantric massage could mean anything.
Yeah.
There's no real standard for a tantric massage. You know, in our culture, tantra really is associated with sex. You know,
right,
it's about,
exactly.
In the Western world, people, you know, and in fact, there's a reason for that, because in the wide world of tantra, you know, dealing with sexual energy is a part of it. It's one facet, one sliver of the whole scope of tantra. But there's so much more to it than just that energy. There's a lot of other different types of energies and practices as well. And some people will focus on that, and some people will not focus on it at all. You know, there's in the world of tantra, there's what's known as the left-hand path, or red tantra, which really deals with sexual energy to a great extent. And then there's the right-hand path, or white tantra, which really doesn't deal with it at all, but, you know, deals more with energy and spirit.
Well,
and then
I know,
the
okay, then there's a, what's the third path you were going to say?
The middle path, or pink tantra.
Oh, really?
Which, yes, and that's really more inclusive, of everything. And that's really the path that I take.
Well, tell me a little bit about White Tantra. I've done lots of programs here on mostly dealing with Red Tantra, which is the sexual. How do you actually practice White Tantra?
Well, you know, you got to look at, you know, what is Tantra? Tantra is it's an ancient spiritual discipline from the tradition of Ayurveda, which came out of India. And and really, Tantra is, you know, one of the sources. It's where yoga came from. And
but what is it? What actually is the actual practice? How do you do it?
Well, there's a lot of different disciplines, you know, for that. Really, what Tantra is about, you know, you got to look at the goal of Tantra. The goal of Tantra is, you know, ultimately, it's spiritual enlightenment. It is transcending the physical body and the ego and becoming one with spirit. Okay, so how you do it, the practice of how you attain that is actually the practice of Tantra. And there's many different practices within Tantra. Yoga is part of it. Different breathing exercises, different meditations.
What's a one good white tantric practice that one would do to, like?
Well, working with the chakras.
Mm-hmm.
You with the chakras. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No. Of course, I am. Yes. Yes.
Right. The chakras are. You have seven main chakras that run up the center of the body. You know, from the base of the spine to the top of the head. And so, meditating on each chakra.
I see. And so what's... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
This is one of the things that I actually do in my sessions, is I work with clearing out, awakening, and charging up the chakras.
What would pink tantra look like? How do you combine that?
Well, what you do is you don't ignore the sexual energy, essentially. You work with everything else in the body. You work with the higher spiritual centers, you know, the chakras, you know, the solar plexus, the center of joy, the heart chakra, the center of love. The throat chakra is expression. The third eye is knowledge, wisdom, and vision. And the crown chakra at the top of the head is your connection with spirit.
Right.
So
yeah.
As you go down, you know, from the solar plexus, you know, the belly chakra is your hara, you know, the center of your being and but it also deals with the you know sexual energy as well. And the root chakra, you know, is your connection to the earth, you know, and your sexuality. And so really what you're doing is integrating all of that, you know, and working on taking that powerful, you know, that powerful sexual energy and bringing it up to the higher chakras, you know, because...
Right. And how do you bring it up? With the breath, I suppose, right?
Well, you with the breath and with the mind. And you can use, you know, and then you use touch. I use the energy in my hands to, you know, help kind of brush it up, just to help focus the mind, help work that energy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, one of the things that I do is I teach classes and workshops on tantric massage. It's essentially teaching people how to use the energy in their bodies and how to focus it and use it to help themselves and help others.
Right. But do you, in this pink tantric work, do you actually then activate the sexual energy with hands-on?
Well, I don't personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my work has really evolved. You know, my own personal sessions... I mean, you know, when you say hands-on, I think you mean like, you know, touching the genital area.
Yeah, genital massage or whatever the sexual contact.
Yeah, you know, and I don't have any, you know, moral qualms with that, you know, because I have done that. My work has grown out of that. I don't particularly do that anymore myself. But I don't, I'm also not kind of phobic about, you know, avoiding it either. You know,
but
so
you have to tell your client that's what you're doing, of course, right? Before, I mean,
yeah, just, you know, as I'm working, you know, for example, if I'm stimulating the chakras, one of the ways that you can stimulate the chakras is by rubbing vigorously in a circular motion on the surface of the body.
Mm-hmm.
If I've got a client, maybe they're under a sheet, maybe they're not, but you know, if I want to stimulate the heart chakra, I'm going to rub vigorously on their chest in a clockwise motion. You know, so as we get down to the root chakra, you know, well, you know, I might do the same thing down there, you know, where I'm rubbing vigorously on the body, you know, and it's, you know, and it, but that's a more sensitive area. So, but it's just for myself personally, it doesn't get any more involved in that.
Right. Right. So your focus, I mean, so I'm getting more of a whole idea of what your work is involved in, and I'm seeing the energy component, the physical component, and so your whole focus in working with someone is to bring them where?
Well, is to bring them to raise their energy level, raise up the vibration level in their body to a higher level, so that it's closer to the vibration of spirit.
Now, do you have to hold yourself at that place in order for them to raise up?
I would say yes. Yeah.
And
I would
how
say,
you? But how do you do that? How do you hold yourself closer to spirit?
Well, you know, it's, that's my own practice. You know, and that's a lifelong. You know, I mean, when I start a session, you know, I'm at a certain, my baseline, say my normal state of being, is, you know, I already try and keep it high from eating a very clean, very healthy diet, you know, doing yoga, doing meditation, breathing, doing breathwork exercises. But then when I begin the session, you know, I have certain techniques to bring myself up higher as well. You know, I will meditate and connect with the chi in all of the elements surrounding me. And I will essentially plug in to all of the elements in the earth. You know, the earth, the air, fire, and water. And use that life force energy that exists in all of the elements and bring it in by working with the chakras, bring it into my own system. And this is one of the things I teach people to do in my classes, in my workshops, is how you can tap into that chi and bring it into your body.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds great. No, that sounds like a great thing for people to learn, because then you realize that you're made of the elements, that we're full of what's in us is what's outside of us.
Right.
And the micro and the macro. Yeah.
When I was a young man, in beginning to study spirituality, I remember hearing these stories, the spiritual masters, you know, even thousands of years ago, would say that there is so much energy in one cubic centimeter of air in front of you. You know, there's enough energy in the air, in any part surrounding you, that could, you know, supply the world with power for a million years. You know, there's just an enormous part of energy. And then modern science actually proved that point when they flipped the atom.
Right.
You know, and that was, of course, they did it physically, mechanically, and unleashed the destructive power, but still it demonstrates how much power there is in one single atom. So how many atoms are, you know, in the fingernail of your little pinky? There's millions of them, and there's so much power all around us all the time. If we can only learn how to tap into that, well, this is one of the ways, that you can tap into it is by raising your own vibration and kind of to the vibration of the elements, and then, you know, using mind, using intention, you tap into that chi, the life force energy, and bring it into your body. And when you learn how to work with the chakras and the meridians, well, this is like that's like a blueprint, you know, it's like the mechanics of how you can actually use that energy in your body on a practical day-to-day basis.
No, that is a great way to describe your energy work and your work. So we're just about out of time for this, but what would you, like people to leave with, and also give a little promotion for yourself, like when you're coming to New York and, you know, what your website is?
Okay. Well, I'm coming to New York on Monday, May 18th. I'm arriving in the evening. So I'm going to be here for 5 days. Well, really 4 days, because Monday doesn't count. But I'm leaving on Friday the 22nd. And I am I'm going to be staying in the East Village and doing sessions. Private.
How can people find you? How would they find you?
They can find me through my website, which is healingmagic.net.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a special page for my visit to New York.
Good. Yeah, I'll look that up too. So is there any like final words that you would like people to know that you've gained over time? Like what, like for instance, what is the magic of the human body? I mean, you've sort of been talking about that, but what would you like to leave people with?
Okay, before I answer that question, let me just tell you that I'm also doing a little mini workshop on Wednesday evening.
Okay.
The 20th.
And they can find that on your website, too?
Yeah, that's on the website, too, the Infinity Wellness Center. And I would just like to say that, you know, that we're all spiritual beings. You know, at the core of who you are, you're a spiritual being. And you know, our spirits are not confined by the limitations of time and space. You know, our spirits, you know, in their potential, are light beings. And, you know, yet it's almost like we're trapped in these bodies of ours.
Mm.
Yet, you know, what is possible is to, you know, kind of bring the physical body closer to the level of spirit, you know, that we can, you know, our physical bodies can actually help support us to live a life, you know, with a sense of freedom and joy and love, and actually not slow us down.
Mm. Thank you for the work, and thank you for sharing that wisdom with the audience tonight. So, I'll probably see you when you're in New York.
Excellent. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
In person.
Thanks. Thanks for being a guest. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. Anyway, you can call me this week.
Have a wonderful night. All right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. I was talking to Ross of healingmagic.net. My next guest is also a healer who approaches healing from a similar point of view. As far as energy and the body made of energy, her name is Lisa Van Ostrand, and she'll be coming up within the next minute or so. And I also have a background in healing arts. I have a book out called An Alternative Medicine, and that's published by Rosen Publishing. So Lisa's going to talk to us also about her understanding of Chinese medicine and her techniques in healing the body. So Lisa, Seth, can you get Lisa on the line if you're listening?
I'm on.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Do you have a website, too, that people can...
I do. It's 3, as in the number 3, Treasures Healing.
Okay, good. So I was just talking to this guy, Ross, about his understanding of the of working with energy and coming to people as a holistic approach on mind, body, spirit. Your work is similar in a way, but I think you've also developed your own unique style. Talk a little bit about your understanding of Chinese medicine and how you integrate that paradigm into the body.
Okay. Well, first of all, as you know, like Chinese medicine is probably one of the first. I mean, I guess we could also include Ayurveda in that as well. One of the very first body, mind, spirit medicines that goes back like 2,000 years. So they have a lot of history and experience that they've gained in working with the body as a holistic medicine. And so they not only intuited information, but then all of this information was also confirmed by observation and scientific inquiry. So, I mean, I really want to say that just to start out with, because it has a tremendous history that we can draw on and techniques that we know really work. And their observation is also based on being in harmony with nature, and I want to emphasize that, because I think so many of our problems today are because we're not in balance with nature. And so our particular healing is based on Qigong. So we learn Qigong exercises as healers and as practitioners so that we can cultivate and that we can use our, not use our energy and instead use the qi that's from the heavens and from the earth so that we don't deplete ourselves. And then we also want the people that come to us to be able to do very targeted Qigong exercises to help improve their condition. And so then we also give healings where we balance people's energy. And we're basically also, when we're assessing people, we're looking at all the different levels, the physical, the mental, emotional, and then the spiritual.
So when you talk about Qigong, can you explain what that, I mean, it's a series of movements or exercise that moves the qi through the body? Is that how you understand Qigong?
Yes, qi means like vital energy, and gong means cultivation or skill. So, yes, it's basically a series of movements, exercises that will harmonize your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do them to target specific areas. So if, you know, I have diabetes or stress or whatever, there can be certain exercises that can be really targeted to very specific conditions. And I think that that's really important, and one of the things that's really beautiful about this paradigm is that it really encourages clients or people that are not well to take responsibility for their illness, and that's very different from a lot of the Western medicine paradigms where they're really treating the symptom and not really allowing the client to take some level of responsibility in their healer.
Well, that's what you're paying the doctor for. You're paying the doctor to take responsibility for your illness. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what people feel.
Exactly.
And then if some alternative comes up, they have to ask their doctor. And if their doctor doesn't understand it, they usually stop the patient from exploring that. And that's been the problem with Western medicine, I find, is that it's not trained. Well, it's starting to become integrative. I think there's a lot of movement as we combine East and West, or holistic and Western medicine together. So, but getting back to what you do, so how do you assess the body? I mean, I know you gave me a sort of little treatment amidst all the chaos that I was in today, but you know, how do you size someone up, and then how do you know where to work with somebody?
Well, basically, the first thing that I always do, and I think is really important, is I let the client tell me what their concerns are. And I think it's really important that that be the starting point, that that's really what you want to address. And then you really need to look at everything, listen to what the physical issues are, listen to what emotionally might be going on, and usually those things are related. I mean, I think it's not something that we can be really linear about, like, oh, this person has a problem with their feet, so therefore, you know, it means that they can't stand up on their own 2 feet. I mean, I don't think it's that linear, but nonetheless, I do think that there are definitely associations that we can make between a specific illness that someone has and the lifestyle that they're leading, what kind of emotional problems that they may be experiencing. And so, you know, we look for those causative factors so that people can be treated at all of those levels. And then, of course, spiritually, it's very important to look at that as well, because in every illness, there's some kind of lesson to be learned.
Like, well, yeah, talk about that. So if people are getting, like, the swine flu, which has been popular these days, what is the lesson, or is it different for everybody?
I think it's different for everybody, and it's really important, actually, even at this point, to say that that's one of the beautiful things that I love about Chinese medicine, is that it treats the individual, and because we are all individuals, and in Chinese medicine, different illnesses or diseases can be caused by different underlying patterns. So I wouldn't want to say that something like the swine flu would be caused by one specific thing or thought process.
Well, okay, I get that. But I wanted to ask you also, when you're reading someone's energy or you're tapping into them, what I like about your work and the work of healers is that they're using their body as the barometer or as the instrument for accessing someone else's energy. So you have to be really in tune with what you're feeling in order to also feel somebody else. Is that right?
Yes, I would totally agree with that. I think it's not just your body, it's your whole being is sensing into the other person so that you can get input in terms of one of the higher levels of whether it's seeing or knowing or feeling, high sense perception, whatever name that you want to give these different ways of accessing the information. Absolutely, and that is really important, and that's something that everybody can develop over time.
Right, and as like Ross, this other healer, was talking to, it's like fine-tuning your own instrument on all those levels. You're right. It's not just tuning in physically, it's tuning in psychically and spiritually and emotionally. Like knowing who you are as a being, entity, and knowing what you're picking up, too. I think that's really key.
Yeah, and I think it's important to add that when I teach people, I always teach them that whatever information they receive, it can also be confirmed very, almost scientifically, like through questioning and through physical observation, because it's all going to match up. I mean, it's almost the same point that we were making about a disease. So everything is going to layer together, whatever emotional symptoms, whatever physically is going on. So it's all going to fit together like a puzzle. And the reason why I want to say that and emphasize that is because it's not like you know, some kind of channeling, and that's not to say that anything is wrong with that. I mean, I particularly know that people can get a lot of good information from that, but by the same token, sometimes information that's given to people can also be detrimental, and so whatever information that we're getting about the person, it's going to be confirmed in a lot of different ways because whatever's going on physically is going to match what's going on mentally, emotionally, and so it fits together like a puzzle, and that I think is really important.
I see. So, and also, this besides not channeling, it's also not guesswork, or it's not like
exactly that. Exactly.
It's like you're also making a map through what the practitioner knows to be true. I mean, someone else may come up with a whole different way of putting that puzzle together and see something totally different as well, which, you know, again makes it an art form.
Yeah, that's true. That can always be the case. Yeah, absolutely.
But I think what you're saying, when you look at the whole person from the spiritual, emotional, physical, mental aspect, you're seeing elements that are reflected on all levels of that person.
Exactly.
And so where do you work first, or you work on all four of those levels at once?
I try and see what feels like the most important thing that person needs to work on to get well. And that's where I start. And I think that, you know, obviously that completely makes sense
How do you know that? What do you tap into to know what the most important thing is?
Well, it just kind of stands out. Usually when you speak to people, what it is. I mean, I can just give you lots of different examples, I guess, but it's always really pretty obvious. Like, it's never something. Healing ourselves a lot of times is just very easy. It's just that for the most part, a lot of times people don't have within themselves the support system that they really need to change things. So most of the time my experience is that when somebody's been really ill, it's no great you know, mind trick to figure out how they got there. I mean, sometimes it does happen that really unfortunate things happen, but most of the time, you know, people in some ways have been leading a lifestyle or in doing certain things to themselves that over time have taxed themselves. So I would say the great majority of the time it's pretty easy to see what the causative factors are and what needs to be changed. It's more not likely the case that's completely mysterious.
Right. I get that. So maybe it comes back to what I heard Allen Ginsberg say about art is notice what you notice. So notice what pops out as the thing that where you start your movement with them. And some people say you can never actually heal another person. They have to heal themselves. But what is then, if you look at it that way, what's the role of the healer then?
Well, first of all, I think that's absolutely true, what you just said. And very important in today's world that people do take responsibility for their own healing because it is the only thing that will work. Well, I think the role of the healer is to provide guidance and to work with the client, balancing their energy in between whatever other treatments that they might be receiving. I mean, some clients like to do Western medicine, as you know, in combination with alternative therapies. So it can help balance the energy. It can help balance side effects. They can receive Qigong exercises and meditations to help support them with whatever they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's just basically all of those things. It's really providing to the client perhaps reflection of what it is that they need to change in their life. Because, I mean, I know for myself, we all have areas that change is just very difficult for us in certain areas. And so to have someone that can help navigate you through that change and possibly see if there's any belief systems that might be underlying the difficulty in changing something that we need to change in our life is also important. A lot
right.
of times hidden belief systems can play major roles in illnesses.
Right, but you know, we just said, you know, no one can, everyone has to heal themselves, but you do run energy through people's bodies that can have a positive benefit. You know, so there's also that aspect of actually helping people heal. You know, so it's like we're saying two things in the sense where you're doing stuff to people and they can only heal themselves. That's the part I don't quite get, because you are sending energy that will help people for sure.
That's true. I guess where the differentiation becomes is that then that person needs to go back into their life and probably also be balancing things within their life, continuing to do that, because most of the time I would say the majority of people that are seeking alternative help usually have something that's more on a chronic level. Not always. I mean, sometimes people do come in and they just say, oh, you know, I want you to balance my energy. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, that's pretty simple. That's not a big deal. I mean, they're basically, you know, maybe just need a little bit of tweaking here and there. But I think when I made that comment, I was referring more to somebody that might have a more chronic disease like cancer or diabetes or something like that. And in that case, surely there are things that they are going to need to change in their lifestyle that they will have to take responsibility for in order to heal.
Right. I agree, because, you know, ultimately it's everyone has their body that they are here to work with and to nourish the best way they can, I suppose. So I guess the role of the healer is to really provide the guidance for that nourishment. So what would you say, I mean, as we sort of wrap up here, is the overall thing that someone needs to know in order to live the most optimum life in the most healthful and healing way?
Okay, well, I'm gonna answer that in probably just a few sentences. When someone is healthy, it's about having everything in balance, and that's the way nature is, and that's the way we need to be. We need to, you know, we need to keep having things continually moving. It's only when we get stuck, usually, that we get sick. I mean, sickness is stuck energy in some way. So it's about how can we keep moving and how can we keep being in harmony with our environment. And then the very first thing I ask myself when someone comes in who is chronically sick is, what is it that this person needs to change? So that's the key. If you're really sick, it's like looking through your life and seeing for yourself, what are the things that you need to change, and then those really, if you're really sick, then those need to really become your priority.
So if people are
sick, it's that simple.
It's usually the hardest thing to. It's usually the hardest thing to change is the places.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I. Exactly. That's what I was saying earlier. That's why it's so easy to sort of, when we step back as a practitioner, it's very easy for us to see what needs to be changed, but always very difficult for people to make those changes, or they would have done it. You know. And again, I can speak.
Yeah. So how do you help people make those changes? I mean, you can tell them, of course, but how would you really assist them in making those changes?
Well, it's very individual. I mean, for one thing, being a support system for that person. I mean, again, it really, really depends on the individual. But say, for example, with somebody who's never been supported in their life or never felt that they could accomplish something, so they may have a hidden or an unconscious belief system that they can't stand on their own 2 feet. So, or maybe they're working 24 hours around the clock and they feel like, oh, I gotta keep doing it and gotta keep moving, gotta keep doing this. And so, right. You know, it's bringing people to consciousness that there are different ways of doing things and just helping them see that, seeing if there's any belief systems that they've inherited from their parents or from their childhood or, you know, even past lives. So it's very individual work, but yet at the same time, there are certain common belief systems that most of us have in some form or fashion. So it's really just working through those and being a support system for that person on that level, as well as Qigong exercises.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have Qigong exercises for, you know, grief, you know, for everything that really, that all the feelings and emotions that maybe need to come out for somebody. So it's a combination of all of those kinds of things, or maybe supporting lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you for all. Is anything, can you talk about your website or the classes that you're giving? Anything you'd like to leave people with?
Yeah, thanks. My website is 3 Treasures Healing, 3 Treasures Healing. I teach healing classes in New York City and other places in the United States. So it'd be great if anybody felt like that they were interested to check out the website, and my email's on there if you have any questions. And I do also do healings. And I guess that's it.
No, thank you for all
thank
your
you
work.
So much.
And I think, you know, just to leave people with the understanding that every day we are renewed. I think that's the beauty also that people have to understand about healing, is that we have a chance every single day or every single moment to just be present and renew ourselves in that moment.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. Every moment is a new moment, and a moment to be present with what's going on now.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you for your work.
Thanks, Alan.
All the energy, and this is Alan Steinfeld and my show about healing with a few different healers and looking at the body from a holistic point of view. Check my website for any other New Realities activities. That's newrealities.com. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. This is Alan Steinfeld. Thank you for listening.